Welcome to Business English Pod, a great way to improve your English skills on the go.
Clarifying and confirming verbal instructions. When you're given verbal instructions, it's essential that you clarify anything you don't understand or are unclear about. If you feel you've understood everything correctly, it's a good idea to repeat back the instructions to whoever gave them to you to ensure that you haven't misunderstood or missed anything. This will help to minimize any errors you might make whilst you are carrying out the instructions. In this podcast lesson, you're going to listen to two dialogues. In the first dialogue, the instructions given are quite brief and straightforward. In this case, the listener waits until all the instructions have been given before making any clarifications. In the second dialogue, the instructions are longer and more detailed. In this dialogue, the listener clarifies the instructions at the appropriate points while they are being given. When listening to the dialogues, make a note of some of the common expressions used to clarify and confirm the instructions. You will now hear a dialogue between Jessica, one of the primary partners in a law firm, and Russell, one of the firm's junior lawyers. Jessica wants Russell to prepare to meet a new client the following day.
Have you had a look at that file I sent across?
Yes, I have. I wasn't sure how it applied to me, though. I don't usually handle child's rights cases.
Well, I thought you were the best person to handle this, given your background in parental custody cases.
Well, thanks. Is this regarding the Peterman case?
Yes, she's coming in tomorrow, and I'm going to introduce you to each other and leave you to talk. I'd like you to refer to the Sanders and Watterson case files as well. That should give you a head start.
Those were before my time, weren't they?
Yes. And I'd like you to look over the litigation aspects of both cases, since this one may well go to court.
I'll keep that in mind.
Dr. Peterman is very concerned about her daughter being disciplined too severely at school. However, on no account should you agree to meeting the daughter at an early stage of the consultation. Are you following me?
Yes, I got that.
Good. We need to keep this client confidential as well, of course. So at the moment, we won't be conducting any external investigations. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I understand.
Let me put it another way as well. As of now, Dr. Peterman is our only contact in this case. Witnesses may be involved later, if it comes to that.
I'm following you.
Excellent. Please also prepare a case report of your preliminary thoughts by this morning. I'd like to go over it before Dr. Peterman comes in.
Got it. I'll do that.
Do you have any questions?
Just one for now. What about the child's father?
We'll treat him as a third party for the time being.
Could you clarify that?
Well, he went abroad after the divorce and is not involved in the case at this point, as far as I can tell.
Okay, let me just clarify everything. You'd like me to go over the Sanders and Watterson cases, noting the litigation aspects in each, and prepare a preliminary case report by tomorrow morning. Also, the child or any other party is not involved at this stage. Have I got that right?
Exactly. You can take the earlier case files home for the night if you need more time to go over them.
I'll do that if I need to. Thanks.
In the dialogue, we see that Jessica is clearly in the superior position. She is giving Russell instructions. As we learn from the dialogue, she has already given him some material on the case, since she says, "Have you had a look at that file I sent across?" She is going into the specific details during the course of the conversation. Jessica begins by telling Russell that the client is coming in for a meeting the next day, in which he will have to deal with her on his own. She also tells him about two more cases that the firm has handled earlier, which are similar to the new one. She says,
"Yes, she's coming in tomorrow, and I'm going to introduce you to each other and leave you to talk. I'd like you to refer to the Sanders and Watterson case files as well. That should give you a head start."
By saying, "that should give you a head start," Jessica is explaining to Russell that reading the files will help him prepare to meet the new client. She goes on to explain further by saying, "I'd like you to look over the litigation aspects of both cases, since this one may well go to court." "I'd like you to" is a useful phrase while giving instructions.
Note that even though Jessica is essentially giving Russell orders, she makes it sound like a request by using polite phrases. Saying, "I'd like you to do this," is more courteous than saying, "You have to do this," "I want you to do this," or "You must do this." Other useful phrases are, "Would you take a look at?" "Please, would you go over?" Or, "I'd appreciate it if you went over." Jessica then warns Russell about meeting the client's daughter. To ensure that he has understood, she asks, "Are you following me?" To check if someone is following you, you can use any of the following phrases or similar ones. Have you got that? Let me spell it out. Have I made that clear? Or got it? This is more informal than the others. Russell responds by saying, "I got that." To confirm that you have understood a piece of instruction, you can say, "I've got it," or use any of these handy phrases. "I'm following you." "I understood that." "I see." Don't say, "I agree," since getting instructions is not part of a discussion, and you don't have to give your opinion unless it is part of a question you need to ask. After her next statement, Jessica again uses a similar question to the one she used at the end of her previous instruction. She says,
"We need to keep this client confidential as well, of course. So at the moment, we won't be conducting any external investigations. Do you see what I'm getting at?"
"Do you see what I'm getting at?" means the same as, "Are you following me?" It's a way to check if the listener has understood what you have said so far. After Russell has confirmed that he has understood, Jessica stresses her point by saying, "Let me put it another way as well." She then clarifies what she means by stating it differently.
"As of now, Dr. Peterman is our only contact in this case. Witnesses may be involved later, if it comes to that."
Note that at this point, Jessica rephrased her instructions, even though Russell didn't ask for a clarification. It's advisable to do this if the instructions you are giving are lengthy or complicated. Russell confirms that he has understood by saying, "I'm following you." After Jessica's last request, he again confirms his understanding by saying, "Got it, I'll do that." By asking, "Do you have any questions?" Jessica signals that she has finished with the instructions, and Russell can now make any important clarifications that he needs to. Russell asks, "Could you clarify that?" Then, after receiving a clear response from Jessica, he summarizes all the points of the instructions he has received. "Okay, let me just clarify everything. You'd like me to go over the Sanders and Watterson cases, noting the litigation aspects in each, and prepare a preliminary case report by tomorrow morning. Also, the child or any other party is not involved at this stage. Have I got that right?" Russell asks, "Have I got that right?" to ensure that he has understood everything correctly. You will now hear a conversation between Frank, a senior editor at a publishing house, and Elena, a new editor. Frank is explaining a process to Elena, which is new to her, and she asks questions after any point she wants clarifying.
"To begin with, always ensure that you have enough blank copies of the ECP so that you don't have to go running to the copier every time."
"What does ECP stand for?"
"Estimated Completion Plan." "Essentially, this is what tells the rest of us how you're getting along on every project. Every project you're working on has an ECP posted on the intranet, which you need to update every 24 hours. Are you with me so far?"
"I'm not sure I'm following you. Do I need to complete all the 12 columns before uploading the file?"
"That's not what I meant. Let me clarify this. You'll see that the 12 columns are actually sets of three. The first in each case refers to the manuscript, the second to the illustrations, and the third to the typeset proof. Have you got that?"
"The manuscript, illustrations, and proof. Got it."
"Great. The four sets represent the four stages at which the ECP is likely to change, since every book goes through four phases of editing. So what you need to do at first is enter your estimated completion dates for each of the four proofs of the book into your hard copy. Keep that for your reference. Always make the estimates in your hard copy first. Get it checked by your supervisor, and then upload the soft copy onto the intranet.
I think I've got that. But won't my estimated dates depend on when the authors, illustrators, and typesetters send me their proofs?
Yes. That's why you need to set estimates at each level. You'll need to speak to everyone concerned and put in their estimated submission dates into the respective columns.
But you said I should update the file every day. Does that mean I need to call everyone each day to check on their progress?
I don't think I made myself clear. You need to update the author, artist, and typesetter's estimated submission dates several times during the course of working on a book. Some of these dates are changed as people work on their parts of the book. If someone notifies you of a change, update it on the ECP. Otherwise, just check that the dates are accurate on any given day. Is that clear now? Have you got that?
I think I missed something there. Could you go through that again?
Let me put it another way. If there's a change in anyone's schedule, update the file on your hard copy and on the intranet. If not, leave it as it is. Is that clearer now?
Yes, thank you. Does this mean I should show the ECP to my supervisor only when there's a change in an estimated date?
Not necessarily. That's between you and her. Supervisors normally require status updates every day, even if there are no changes in the schedule.
I understand, thanks.
That's about it. Any questions?
Not right now, but I'm sure I'll have dozens when I begin on my first ECP.
Let's do a dummy one to give you some practice. We can meet after lunch to discuss the details.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Note that Frank starts his instructions with the phrase, to begin with, to prepare Elena for the fact that there is a lot more to follow. He says,
to begin with, always ensure that you have enough blank copies of the ECP so that you don't have to go running to the copier every time.
Elena then makes her first clarification by asking, what does ECP stand for? Such a question can also be put across as a statement. For example, you can say, I don't know what ECP stands for, or I'm not sure what ECP stands for.
Or it can be rephrased as another question, such as, could you explain what ECP stands for?
Frank explains the point at some length and then asks, are you with me so far? Elena responds by using a phrase that tells Frank that she has not understood what he is saying. She says,
I'm not sure I'm following you.
There are several phrases you can use to tell someone that you have not understood something. You could say, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean. This can be either a question or a statement, depending on the tone that is used. Both mean the same thing. Or, you've lost me. This is rather informal. Also, I didn't understand that. Sorry, I'm not following you. Sorry, I don't quite follow you. Or, I'm afraid I don't quite understand what you're getting at.
Elena then queries the instructions that Frank has given her by asking, do I need to complete all the 12 columns before uploading the file? Do I need to is a common phrase for querying what you should do. Here are some other phrases. Should I complete all the 12 columns before uploading the file? Do I have to complete all the 12 columns before uploading the file? Or is it a good idea to complete all the 12 columns before uploading the file? Frank then lets Elena know that she has not understood the instructions correctly by saying, that's not what I meant. Let me clarify this. You can tell someone that they have misunderstood your instructions by using any of the following ways. Sorry, I think you misunderstood what I said. Sorry, that's not quite right. I'm afraid that's not what I'm saying. Or, that's not quite what I had in mind. Elena then makes another query based on what Frank has said earlier. She asks, but won't my estimated dates depend on whether the authors, illustrators, and typesetters send me their proofs? The question can also begin with phrases such as, does that mean? Should I? Or,
Would you like me to? Elena asks another similar question.
But you said I should update the file every day. Does that mean I need to call everyone each day to check on their progress?
Here, she first repeats Frank's earlier instruction by using the phrase, "But you said..." She then makes the clarification by using the phrase, "Does that mean..." This shows Frank that she is making a logical connection with an earlier piece of instruction, and that she is trying to follow what he is saying. Frank corrects her by saying, "I don't think I made myself clear." This is more polite than saying, "You haven't understood," or "You are wrong." Elena then points out that she is not following what Frank has just said, and requests him to repeat it. She says, "I think I missed something there. Could you go through that again?" By saying, "Could you go through that again?" Elena is asking Frank to repeat what he's just said. Here are some other common phrases for asking for repetition. "Could you repeat that, please?" "Could you run through that one more time?" Or, "Could you say that again, please?" Frank says, "Let me put it another way," to tell Elena that he is now attempting to explain the same point to her again. He again asks if she is following by saying, "Is that clearer now?" After another clarification, Elena says, "I understand," to let Frank know that she has clarified all her questions. Note that Frank asks Elena at almost every step if she is following him. Notice also that Elena repeats back his instructions from time to time to show that she is listening and has understood. This also gives Frank a chance to correct any misunderstandings. To conclude this podcast lesson, if you are receiving detailed instructions, it's advisable to clarify them at appropriate intervals. Where you are given brief, straightforward instructions, wait until the end before making any clarifications. While giving instructions, stop and check to make sure the listener is following closely, and repeat or rephrase instructions if necessary. Keep a notepad and pen handy while receiving instructions to make sure you don't miss anything.
That's all for this Business English Podcast lesson. We hope you enjoyed listening. Business English Podcast is part of Workplace English Training e-magazine. To access the podcast transcript for this and other Business English Podcast lessons, you'll need to subscribe to Workplace English Training e-magazine at www.workplace-english-training.com. Workplace English Training e-Magazine is a monthly interactive online magazine focusing on all aspects of business English training. It is suitable for pre-intermediate to advanced level learners. Each issue of the e-Magazine is packed with interactive lessons to help you improve your business writing, speaking, listening, and vocabulary. Learning is challenging yet fun. Here's that subscription address once again: www.workplace-english-training.com.